The Huskers come back to tie the game. But in the end, Iowa left the field with the Heroes Trophy last Friday after a late field goal ended Nebraska's bowl game chances. We recap the Black Friday game and what the results tell us about Nebraska's priorities during the offseason. Former Husker Zach Potter will join us on the set to offer his thoughts as well. Sean Callahan's here. We'll have the latest on Big Red recruiting. It's all coming up next on NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. Hi, everyone. I'm Michael Sevier. Welcome to NET's Big Red Wrap-Up. It really was deja vu all over again as Nebraska loses for a fifth straight time to Iowa. With me tonight to talk more about it, Jay Moore, Damon Benning, former Huskers. One quick question of you, and I haven't asked you this all week.
Uh-oh.
Do you think Nebraska discovered any kind of offensive identity in this game that they can take forward next year?
I actually do. I think if you can continue to develop guys like Dedrick Mills and build on that running style, and he got out of his typecast a little bit. You thought he was just kind of an inside zone guy, slam it down your throat. He showed you can run some outside zone with him. I think they can build around that ground game.
Then defensively, did you see something, not just the Iowa game, but maybe the Wisconsin game, Maryland game?
Absolutely. You can build off of those three games. What you can build off is fight. After that first quarter, you can get a little bit, here we go again. You get beat up a little bit up front. They get some big plays. They gash you a little bit. But you fought, and the defense gave the offense a chance to get back in this football game, and they did. So I think that's what you can build off of. So many times I've been in part of many football games. The first quarter, you just kind of you get over your skis a little too quickly, and you're like, okay. But then you know what? There's a lot of game left. You don't panic. That's the biggest thing, I think, with this football team, and I think it's hurt them in the last few years, is the panic. Mm-hmm. It's, we got the lead. How can we win this thing? It's almost a panic sense. It's like, oh my gosh, getting uncomfortable with being uncomfortable. Yeah. That's in these type of scenarios, it's going to help this football team. And defensively, they played some of their best football against the run, especially Darren Daniels, all we've seen all year.
Yeah, we got a lot to get to. We will get to that. But first, we want to make sure that you give us your help. We want your questions with the guys from Phi Kappa Theta. They're in there getting your calls and questions. Of course, enjoying some Valentino's pizza as well. They answer the phones. Our NET Sports intern, Hannah, will make sure we hear your questions on the show tonight. If you prefer to email or text, you can contact us at bigred@netnebraska.org. We're also monitoring Facebook and Twitter tonight. If you have a comment or a question, just contact us online. Here's this week's all-new sideline survey. Oh, no. This show asked this question. Should there be an open competition for quarterback spot next season during the offseason? 97% of the people say yes. Head to the website and cast your vote. As two guys who played during two different eras, same thing, though. Every position, right? Always a competition?
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. It brings out the best of you. Mm. I'll never forget play most of my sophomore year. We bring in a really good true freshman defensive end, Barry Turner. Coach Blake brings him in.
Oh, yeah.
He plays a little bit as a true freshman. I start all games my junior year, but we go into spring ball, and they start trying to sprinkle him in there with the ones a little much, every now and then. I'm like, this ain't happening on my watch. Yeah. Like, you guys are crazy if you think he's going to take my spot. And yeah, I think at times you can get a little complacent. You're coming off, you're a decent year, and you kind of relax. You kind of coasting through spring ball. And for a guy, I needed that. I love the competition. I needed sometimes a kick in the tail a little bit. Sometimes I like to learn the hard way sometimes. So it was good for me, and I think it's good for everyone. Everyone needs to be. I just said it. Uncomfortable. You should never feel comfortable, especially in this game. You got to feel like your spot could be taken just like that. So you can be, you got to be on point day in and day out.
Was there ever any more competition at a position than the IBAC from 92 to like 97?
No. When I got there, it was like that. And that's just the way it was. And the cool thing about it is you're not alone. When you feel like you're the only position where you're not getting competition, that's not going to be good. If there's only one that's getting competition, that's not good either. So the best design is to have it throughout the quarterback room, the tight end room, the offensive line room, the DB room. You want it all over the place, because that's when the culture really starts to take control in terms of controlling you. You're a lot less apt to get out of pocket. You'll probably toe the company line a little bit better, and You'll keep the grumbling to yourself because everybody's going through the same thing that you are, and it really has a way of keeping you in check.
The best thing, too, about competition, it shows you depth. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that might be one of the deepest rooms now, the TV room, with Vedril, McCaffrey, and you bring a Logan Smothers in January. You have competition in all position groups. Mm-hmm. That really shows you the depth that you have. You know, if you're not deep, then you know you don't have much competition going in many of those position groups.
How do you handle this? Because even though obviously the competition, there's still a first team guy, a second team guy, a third team guy, right?
Yeah.
Or do you take all that away?
Well, I think you have to start with some semblance of who goes first.
Right. Sure.
And I assume that would be Adrian Martinez type, but you haven't really touched on probably the most difficult part. Adrian Martinez is a captain, mm-hmm. and he was a captain as a sophomore. So however that sorts itself out, are you revoting? Are you a captain as a sophomore, not a junior? Does being a captain have anything to do with whether you're starting or not? There's lots of little layers in there if you let it be. That's why I'm a big fan of the culture superseding any individuality.
And they'll vote, obviously, again for captain. It would be strange if he didn't get voted again next year, but in the end, Luke McCaffrey's made some really big plays.
No,
gets the fans excited.
He's brought that excitement back to that position. You know, we were talking before, and yeah, do I think did Adrian regress? I tread around using that word. Did I see much improvement? I don't know what he's been told. I'm not a QB mind, but to me, he did not seem like he was the same guy last year. Didn't have the burst. He didn't have the athleticism I saw. That's, you don't have Stanley Morgan. You don't have, you know, senior guards. Mm-hmm. You don't have a Divine Ozigbo. And maybe he knows he knows more about the game, and that can slow you down a little bit too, I think, at times. But what McCaffrey does is he brings that excitement and that burst, that speed that you see. To me, at times, he looks a little bit more comfortable running the option game. Then we've seen Adrian at times, but there's no doubt Adrian is by far the better thrower of the group. And I think if we know Adrian and his comments, this kid's going to get better. I really do believe it. And do I think competition is great? Absolutely. But I still think Adrian will be the guy coming out top, you know, at a spring ball, fall camp, and then going in next year.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll figure out over time. You know, you talk about the level of how comfortable Luke is with the option game, and that's 85% of what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll figure out if once he gets out of, if you can only grill steaks, man, you might be fantastic at grilling steaks. But if I say, hey, you know what, Jay, how about some chicken or maybe a little salmon, and you don't do that as well, maybe you're not as good a chef as we think you are. You maybe need a little bit more time in the kitchen. So that's going to reveal itself, and I think it'll reveal itself in a hurry. There'll be places where all the quarterbacks have to improve, but I do think there's something to the fact that the limited sample of what he was asked to do allowed him to master it to the fullest,
yeah.
Where I think Adrian Martinez was eating off a much bigger plate in a much bigger kitchen.
Yeah. Like the trick play, we'll see it in highlights, right? And I call it a trick play. They designed that. They knew it was a tendency breaker. They knew Iowa would see number 7 come in there and it would go, he's going to run. Mm-hmm. And that allowed J.D. Spielman to get out of there. Yeah, he ran that play well. He probably practiced it all week.
Yeah, it should. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they said they had predetermined packages for, mm-hmm. for Vedril and for McCaffrey. So going into that, you probably worked on, they got their fair share of snaps for backup duties, but majority of their snaps were focusing on their 3-4 play package that they installed into the game. And he did it well. That's the thing. But the fact that he comes in and runs one play, we get this.
Why is he not starting
that
drive?
Right. Why is he not?
Yeah.
It's like, whoa. I get it. I understand it because I've been the biggest critic about Nebraska not being able to capitalize on momentum. And you finally get some momentum offensively. But you have a guy that he's a captain. He's been your guy all year. And yes, he's struggled at times, but he's your guy. Like you just can't give it to Luke McCaffrey. It's crazy to me the uproar that we've obviously gotten in the last 48 hours.
Yeah, tendency breaker is a good word. I like the word, but you have to also understand that if you're talking about a tendency breaker, then that particular entity has tendencies.
Mm-hmm.
So for Luke McCaffrey, he has tendencies. You fast forward a year where you get more on your plate. People game plan for you. There's a reason that you have sophomore slumps, potentially. More tape, more film. People figure out what you like to do, what you're good at, what you're not very good at, and then the next chess piece is yours. So you're right. I mean, the early diagnosis is, wow, he's awful exciting. There is a different energy. Now, it has yet to be seen whether we can maintain it. Does it wear him down with more snaps? Does it kind of change his energy level? I could look fantastic with 8 or 9 carries. I may not look as good with 19
or 20. We saw that against Indiana.
So we'll. That's always part of the process of the evolution of quarterback play.
Everybody knows offense puts butts in the seats, but, I mean, we had to talk about the black shirts. Mm. 5 yards they gave up, or 7 yards they gave up in the third quarter. I think the first down was like 7 minutes into the third quarter.
78 yards for the half until
that's
the
incredible.
Last drive.
No, it was phenomenal. For a team that struggled coming out at half, the defense.
That's third quarter.
They set the tone. I mean, I can't wait. The play I'm gonna break down with Darren Daniels. I got a perfect end zone shot. I could just break down that film just on techniques and what people are seeing for 10 minutes. Obviously, we don't have the time, but they played solid. They played at the point of attack. They set edges. Guys were assigned right. They tackled well. Mm. I mean, they're physical. And they fought, and that's the biggest thing. We were playing against Iowa, and that's the biggest thing we've gotten beat up by Iowa, is just we've lost. We weren't physical at the point of attack. Nebraska was physical at the point of attack defensively for most of this game. That was awesome to see.
Yeah, you talked about even if you go the first half where there was the statistical output, it was still on 3 plays. The reverse, yep. The back door were, you know, Nebraska's bugaboo, their Achilles, backside pursuit. And then safety's kind of screwing down, fitting in the run game. He had the missed tackle. He's out the back door. And then the missed tackle at the point of attack with Honus. So for the most part, outside of those 3 plays, they were good in the first half as well. And just their ability to hold their composure when the offense was going 3 and out in the fourth quarter. And the defense got a stop and then another stop and then another stop. And it kept that game tied when the offense appeared to bog down. I felt like that was kind of a maybe they didn't turn the corner, but they definitely pulled up into the right block, right, of where they need to be defensively.
Yeah, and we saw a lot of it. It really turned midway of the second quarter, a field goal. I think it made it 17 for Iowa. After that, Nebraska pretty much shut them down, and a lot of it was behind line of scrimmage, something that Nebraska hasn't been great at all year.
Yeah, making tackles for a loss, it's hard in a 3-4 defense. These guys played. I mean, I'm going to break this play down later. But they were just – they played with good hands, good pad level, violence. They had good violence with their hands up front. I mean, you could go back on YouTube and watch the game from last year. Iowa flat out manhandled us last year defensively, and that was definitely not the case. I mean, you see a little bit, you know, a little more athleticism, a little more speed for the 12th game, and it was fun to watch. I mean, like I said, the fight was there, the physicality was there, the violence was there. Build on it, and take that
defensive line.
Very true. Because even that pick six that we saw that we'll see in the highlights. Yeah. How about the initial pressure? Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, the good shock, the swim. He's in Stanley's face. I mean that.
And JoJo's drop.
That stuff matters.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was like I said. It's 3 plays. You know, and obviously you don't have one of those, you might win the football game.
It's 3 plays,
but
special teams again.
Yeah,
I sit here thinking
it's just kicking game right now. It's not very special.
I sit there listening. I hear Tom Osborne in my ear, who loved to talk about special teams, and I look at the way Nebraska's been these last 2 years. It got worse.
Yeah, it's, that's a frustrating thing. Is when you look at the Mike Riley era, or the Scott Frost era. There's got to be a time frame where, when you come to a Saturday, you get one phase of the game. We're gonna own it. And Nebraska hasn't owned. I don't think a single. You go to every game. You don't know what's gonna happen. You can't say yes. The defense is gonna play pretty good. They're gonna hold them to less than 300 yards and 17 points. Okay, we're gonna get our points in the kicking game. We're gonna get our points in the red zone. They're not gonna get any big plays and get no punt blocks, no punt returns. Offensively, yeah, we're gonna get our points. We're gonna get our points in the red zone. That's the frustrating thing I think right now with where we're going is we just don't know what we have in all 3 phases. It's just, we don't know. That's tough, and that's hard to win football games like that. But special teams has been a complete surprise for me. this year off with the kicking issues and the kick coverage issues. That's bad football.
Let's take a look at the highlights, and we'll see some special teams and some gas from last Friday afternoon. You'd think more of Halloween for some of the outfits that were out there, but it looked pretty cool coming off of Thanksgiving. We talk about this stretch play going into the week a lot, Damon. That's their core, right?
Yeah, it is, and the key is you got to stay parallel to the line of scrimmage as D linemen, and linebackers got to shoot their shot. They see that window, come on through.
And then they come off of that. They run the reverse with Smith-Marset. That is basically off of that stay and play, right?
Yeah.
Get the flow going, mm-hmm. come back the other way. Somebody loses backside contain.
Yeah, Caleb Tanner got sucked up there. The tackle or tight end was able to get up on him and seal him and off to the races.
I thought there were times early on, even though Adrian didn't play great, on clutch downs. I mean, that's a great 20-yard pass right there to Cade Warner. And then Matt Waldock, who was perfect on the season. 4-4 field goals and 9 of 9 in extra points. Now they're bringing in a walk-on from Iowa Western. But, you know, you figure Matt Waldock, Barrett Pickering will all be in the mix. Here again, watching a missed tackle. That's shooting your shot. It's not
making the low ankle biting just kind of bugs me.
And it shouldn't have got there. I mean, that's Garrett Nelson. That's a young freshman. He's a C-gap player there. He does not get in the C-gap, and that's where it went. It was his play to make.
That made it 14-3, but here's where Nebraska's defense really gets rolling. We showed this earlier. Big tackle for loss right there by Ben Stille. This happened over and over again as we're going along. And then, of course, their field goal kicker is probably going to win the Lou Groza Award as best field goal kicker in the country. We saw that. And then, again, more great defense by Nebraska. What was JoJo Doman thinking on this play as outside linebacker dropping?
So, I mean, it's just quarters coverage. You're just playing underneath. It looked like it was quarters covers there. He's got to help. And you're dropping. He's making sure no run first, but then you're just getting to the flat. Playing underneath coverage and gets hands on the ball, and then Cam Taylor-Britt makes a great play on the tip ball and pick six for the Big Red.
Yeah, but then the momentum, we talked about this earlier, special teams, you probably don't want to kick off to one of the best kickoff returners in the country, but they do.
Yeah, and if you do, you better get more hang time if you're going to be short. You were 0-for-2 on what you'd normally like to accomplish. There's a reason he's bumping his head on the goalposts.
Yeah, he takes that all the way back. It makes it 24-10. But Nebraska gets the ball back and actually has a pretty nice final drive going to end the half. You got Dedrick Mills here. But that run you were talking about, Damon, not just inside zone. Look at him outside.
Yeah, that is really nice. They started this against Wisconsin where they allowed themselves to have some angles up front, and then the big fella turns the corner.
Yeah, and you get a swing pass, one of the few swing passes that actually worked, 10 yards right there to Dedrick Mills. But this, a lot of underneath guys that are open on this play, Damon. What happened?
Yeah, I tell you, the check down was there. I see what he saw. He sees green and goal post over the left shoulder. The ball is underthrown. He was kind of baited a little bit. It got undercut, and they're going the other way.
Dedrick Mills shows his progression through the season. Ended the game with 24 carries. Big load for him.
He showed you a lot right there on just an 8 or 9 yard run. He was patient, put his foot in the dirt. Then he came out of the back end. That's pretty complete.
Here's a tendency breaker. Iowa expected the run by Luke McCaffrey. It allows Spielman to get behind him. Touchdown right there, Nebraska within 7. It's just a huge play.
Yeah, big time.
You get your eyes in the backfield as a DB, and it is it's all she wrote.
And then here's Mills again, another well-blocked play. You got to give credit to the offensive line getting better as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question whether it's either Mills or the offensive line is the most improved on this football team throughout the course of the year.
That was a fourth down play right there, another clutch play by Adrian Martinez to Cade Warner getting that catch there. And then maybe the best carry of Wyatt Mazur's career to end his senior year with that touchdown. Great for a fifth-year senior.
Yeah, good to see a running back come out of the back end, split that thing, young fella.
Here's Nebraska getting a big havoc play, something we talked about a lot. They need to force fumbles. Great job by Colin Miller.
Yeah, not standing around watching the paint dry. That's the big thing. Get in and get busy and see what happens.
And then in that situation, that's one of those where offensive lines have pushed Nebraska all year long. They actually hurt themselves by continuing.
Yeah, we've seen the moan and groans, right? Yeah. Those turn into 6-7 more yards after contact. Not this time.
And then this is probably one of the bigger mistakes of the game. At this point, you probably want to try to run the clock out, but Adrian Martinez goes out of bounds. Now, he did go backwards there, so they could have wound the clock if they wanted to. They did not. And then it gives, obviously, Iowa a chance with these 222 yards. This is zone Nebraska
State. It is. It looks like quarters. Where it look, you know, loose man, everybody's got a quarter of the field. This one right here is a definite no-go. You got to get deeper on your hook to curl there if you're Will Honus.
Yeah, that Matt LaPorte is going to be a really good
He's going to be nice.
Yeah. As a freshman now. And then, as we mentioned, Duncan, probably the Lou Groser winner with the clutch kick to win the game, 27-24. If you look at the stats, Nebraska did what they needed to do. They controlled third down, won it, and stopped Iowa. Look what they did in terms of the passing game.
Fewer penalties. More first downs.
It says 2-2 turnovers, but really the second turnovers was just flipping the ball around in the game. They forced 2 turnovers. Nebraska time possession. It's a game they probably should have won.
Yeah, they're kicking themselves, but wash, rinse, repeat.
Exactly.
You've led 3 games going into the second half, and you were tied throughout this one against Iowa. It was the 4th game that you had a chance to win.
Yeah. This is going to go down. We'll look ahead and say this is the season, obviously, should maybe another 7 or 8 wins. Time now to go deeper into the huddle in the playbook with Jay Moore in the huddle.
All right, guys, we got some great film to look at tonight. I finally got some good end zone shots. As a D lineman and linebackers, when you look in film room, this is all you look at is these type of shots. So I can really kind of break this play down a lot. We talked about Nebraska defensive against the run was really, really good. Essentially, Nebraska, obviously, they're in a 3-4 look here, but they're in an over front. To the play side, they got a 6 head-up technique. You got a 3 technique. You got a backside 1, and you got a 5 technique. But he's playing as an outside linebacker and Alex Davis. Now, let's focus on Darian Daniels, because what he does here is really, really good playing here, essentially splitting the double team. Now, as he gets offensive lineman, Iowa does a really good job of stepping in unison. Now, as what Darian Daniels does really good, as they're stepping inside, you got to step with him to keep your gap. He's a 3 technique. He has B gap. He has to stay in that B gap. So as we roll this play, he's working with him. He's going to work a little swim. I like it. Some coaches might not like the swim in this scenario, but it works. He gets skinny. He gets through. 77 can't get on his hip to knock him off. He gets through. Now, this is where I really like defensively from Nebraska. Now, he had C-gap responsibility, Ben Silly, but what he does is he puts his player in the gap. No more gap. He has total control of his gap. So if anything, if he bounces, he's in perfect position to make the play. Darian Daniels obviously coming through. Mo Berry's now here. You got one of the Davis brothers. I can't quite tell the number is. He's in his guy, and the edge is set really good against the tackle on Alex Davis. Will Honus can come up and make the play. Overall, really, really good action. If Darian Daniels doesn't make the play, someone else would. You can see how Nebraska played really well against the run. Now, we got to talk about the bubble screens, the flare passes, the swing pass, whatever it is. Nebraska ran a ton of them. Not very successful. Let's look at this one here to J.D. Spillman. Early in the first quarter, I highlight this. Cade Warner, for some reason, I don't know what he was doing here. He tries to bump up to his guy on this. He needs to get to there. Numbers situation, it looks like it potentially worked. Even though if he's able to get off his guy and somehow get a piece of him, I don't even know if this play goes for more than a couple yards. Overall, I mean, Nebraska was just way too cute offensively. Too much of that stuff in the first half. Obviously got rid of it from the second half, and it was much better offensively.
Yeah, we had 9 total of those swing passes, if you want to call them bubble screens. You can call them smoke sometime as well. And only 1 total yard gained on those plays. They didn't do as much in the second half. They had 7 of them in the first half, only really 2 of them in the second half. But that's a play they're going to run, right? I mean, we're going to see that years to come in the system.
Yeah, you'd like to see them get more. If you're going to control the hashes, which I think is what you want to do with that swing game, it'd be nice to see if you could be as adept vertically as you are horizontally. That way, instead of widening those safeties, you can deepen them at the same time. Right now, they just don't have to play Nebraska, very honest.
No doubt. Coming up next on the show, we'll be joined by former Husker Zach Potter. Before that, though, here's how you can help and support NET.
Thanks so much, Michael. You know, you've heard this saying, we all stick together through all kinds of weather. We do, don't we? And the weather at that Iowa game was a little bit chilly. I think I'm still drying out and warming up from it. You know, fans and supporters of Husker Athletics and NET have something in common. We all stick together. Your loyalty to NET helps make possible great programs like Big Red Wrap-Up. Tonight's recap show is a good time to take a breath and evaluate the season, and it's a great time for you to do your part and invest in something you appreciate every football season. Hello, everyone. Perry Stoner here with Nancy Finken, and we are excited to be here for a few minutes as our fall membership drive continues.
This is a perfect time to say thanks for watching all season season long, and to remind you that your financial support keeps Big Red Wrap up on NET. We've got some wonderful thank you gifts when you join the NET Sports Partners Club. So give us a call at 800-989-8236 or online netnebraska.org/donate, and we will welcome you into membership and thank you with these gifts. Here's a set of DVDs that will include Husker Century 1, 2, and 3, Coach Osborne, More Than Winning, and A Day in the Life of Husker Football, Walk-Ons, Husker's Edge, and Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. All of those DVDs are our thank you gifts when you are a member right now at $15 a month. Or join us at $10 a month and we'll send you the NET Sports Partners Club fleece jacket. This red jacket is something you're going to enjoy wearing every spring and fall. Show your support for NET Sports with the NET Sports Partners Club fleece jacket, available in all the sizes you would expect. And at the $5 a month level, you could get the NET Sports Partners ball cap. It's gray and it has a nice logo on it. We'll send that cap to you at 800-989-8236 or when you make your pledge online at netnebraska.org/donate.
You know by watching the hours and hours of live sports here on NET that we love sports, and we present it for the state because it's a bond that brings so many of us together. Nebraska is a large state. We can't always travel to the events in person, so NET, watching on NET, is the next best thing. NET brings you live coverage of several high school championships, too. Football, volleyball, wrestling, swimming and diving, and more. We like to say NET is Nebraska's home for sports, and it's true.
And there are so many advantages for you being a member of the NET Sports Partners Club. You'll get invited to special events that we put on. Sometimes it's a tailgate party right here at the NET studios with some special guests. You can have tours. You can see things behind the scenes. It's a great way to learn how TV programs come together and to meet some of our fantastic team that works for you each and every week. From several cameras on location to multiple microphones, all placed in just the right spots to give you the best view of the sports that you're watching. We need your support right now, so folks, come on board, be a member.
Give us a call at 800-989-8236. Take advantage of these great thank you gifts that we have available, and we appreciate your support. And now, let's give it back to Big Red Wrap-Up.
Welcome back to Big Red Wrap-Up. I'm Michael Sevier, joined by NET Sports intern Hannah. What are we seeing on the social media at the end of the season?
A lot of good stuff, especially with it being Iowa Hate Week.
Yeah.
This past week on Twitter, got a lot of good content. In fact, our first tweet is from Chris Walsh, who said that he's decided now that he dislikes Iowa more than he even likes Nebraska, yeah. Which is kind of funny.
It's called hate love.
Oh, yeah. It's a love-hate relationship. Yeah. And then our second post is actually from former Husker player Nate Gary. I'm just repping some really awesome cleats with a hand-painted Sam Foltz tribute on there. If you haven't checked out the artist profile, do so because he has some really great work, but it's great to see him repping Nebraska for the Eagles.
Very good. Thank you very much, Hannah.
Yes,
we appreciate
you.
It. We have a winner in this week's photo contest. Matt tweeted this photo of his kids following the game on Friday. Oh, photo speaks to us all, Matt. Thanks for sharing. Matt won the new Big Red wrap-up t-shirt, coffee tumbler, as well as the 2019 Hail Varsity yearbook. We are pleased to be joined by one of my few people I like to be great in prep, Zach Potter, joining us here. Defensive end, of course, tight end, but you also got started on special teams. When you watch this special teams, you got to be shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, this year the special teams just wasn't good at all. When I played and when Jay played, I mean, the rules have changed a little bit, sure, on some of the things and what you can do, but still, you know, even our approach against Iowa, just, you know, kind of a short kickoff, and then why we even kicked to them,
right,
at one time. You know, you look back at that game, the Wisconsin game, of just momentum of as high as it could have been for Nebraska after scoring a touchdown, and then just taking the wind out of all of our sails was a tough year for special teams. And, you know, to be a successful football team, you have to be successful in all three phases. You can't just be good in offense or defense. So many people discredit, I think, special teams, mm-hmm, and special teams is such a huge aspect of field position for offense and defense. I remember back when we played, Sam Cook was our punter. He got a black shirt because he helped our defense so much by turning the field. So yeah, special teams, huge part of the game.
Yeah, we mentioned a lot about the special teams. Obviously, the returns were tough, but also the punting. A couple times, they couldn't put it back into the win. It puts Nebraska in a bad spot. Those two drives, really, Damon, that kind of defined the third quarter a little.
Yeah, it did. You don't allow the field position to even become a factor to the good. And the other thing is, it's rare that you'll see a team block as many punts as Nebraska did this year.
That's good.
And not have it show up in the win column. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were two games in which they blocked more punts than they got blocked, and they didn't win either game. It's kind of a strange season when it comes to that.
Yeah, I mean, it was a strange year overall. But you mean just the special teams that definitely took the cake for the craziness of a 5-7 year.
I mean, just think how many kickers in. I don't know. Was Isaac Armstrong our only punter all year?
I think he was the only guy.
Only guy a year, but the amount of punters or kickers that we went through. I mean,
six different
that's just
guys.
So rare. On any level, even down to peewee, where you might have to have a different kicker every game. I mean, it's just so unique.
Well, yeah, guys that volunteered, and then they straight to it. Yeah. I can do it.
Whatever you need me to do. What about the defensive line? What do you think about how they played as the season went on in that 3-4 defense?
I thought they improved. I thought they looked pretty good. Obviously, the Davis twins, I think, held their own. And, you know, the Daniels twin or brothers, I should say, did well. Yeah, I think overall our defense throughout the year, it was kind of a roller coaster a little bit. They definitely had some strong games. I think Shenander got them going. Certain games, I think they had to feed off their offense a little bit, which sometimes, you know, was so quick to be three and out that it was tough for them to get back on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you want those long drives just so you can get some wind and more strategy and everything from your defensive, especially your defensive line. But, you know, overall, I was pleased with what they did. I would like to see them get more pressure, but I understand the defense of how they're doing it is not necessarily – you're not going to get a zero technique that's going to get many sacks on the quarterback. I mean, that's your 340-pounder. Mm-hmm. If we're lucky, he's 340. He might be 350. But, you know, to get pressure on those guys, so yeah.
And the other side, the other position we played in the NFL, tight end. I think we're all surprised that we didn't see more contributions from the tight ends.
First game of the season, Jack Stoll, that first drive. I mean, he had a huge play first drive. I think he might have caught a second one on that first drive of the season.
Got run down.
And so, naturally, you think, great. You know, we got some tight ends. Adrian's going to find them, and we're going to go. And then where'd they go?
Yeah.
They were gone.
Even a guy like Austin Allen was kind of your ilk. I mean, a heck of a hooper. Mm-hmm. Really good athlete.
Did you call me a good hooper?
Yeah, I know it did slip. non-game recognizes game. You thought he could get vertical. He was kind of different. He was long and, you know, in the along the hashes and just couldn't really get it going.
Zach, how much does I think those guys at times struggle blocking point of attack? How much of that plays into if you put them in there and said, oh, we're throwing the ball, but you have to be able to block and do those things. Does that affect how they're able to utilize tight ends if you're not good in the blocking game?
It does 100%. I don't understand. You know, when I played tight end, it was a different offensive scheme than what Scott's trying to do down here. But, you know, there's so many times where I think, you know, you could have put Austin Allen in there or Jack or some of the other guys that – all they have to do is really kind of get in the way of that guy for a little bit because they're trying to be so fast to go north-south where if they can go a little east-west to create a hole, that's all they really had to do. And, you know, it's different mismatches and stuff that they could use out of those guys. I think they could have been more successful. It just seemed like all the time all our quarterbacks were just looking for Wandell or JD and kind of, you know, Warner seemed late.
Fred Omaha asked a question about Tommy Frazier's comments during the game. Three former players here. There's a lot of social media out there. How do you guys kind of handle what you say out in public in terms about the team?
I'll go first.
I got to do it for a living. Yeah, so I do
it a little bit too, you know, with doing some radio and obviously this. I don't, you know, I obviously want to point out the good. I have some of my frustrations. You know, I don't call out anybody. I don't want to be too specific. I do trust what's going on. I do know. I'm very impatient, just like everybody else. I want it to happen yesterday. Yep. I want us to be, you know, undefeated and playing this week in Indianapolis. But that's not the reality. And I know it's going to take a little more time than we thought. But, yeah, I pump my brakes sometimes, too. But I like to call it as I see it. I like to be fair. I don't want to be a sunshine pumper or a Kool-Aid drinker too much. It's going to take time. It's going to take work. And I think we got the right guy to get it done.
Yeah, I definitely – there's times I probably delete more tweets than I send. Yeah. I start it, and I'm like, do I want to send this? No. then there's other ones I might rephrase. I'm like, okay, I want to send this one. But as former players or sometimes just armchair fans like we end up being after we're done playing is we're just like every other 90,000 fan in that stadium, and we want to see the team be successful. Now, some of us, because we played, sometimes we feel like we know a little bit more, can speak a little bit more. I never try purposely to, you know, knock any of the players or the coaching staff because, like Jay just said, I'm fully on board with, you know, Scott Frost and his staff and everybody, and keeping that staff intact, because I think that's been one of our biggest issues over the last, we'll say, 20 years, is just turnover. And it doesn't just have to be the head coach. It can be the assistant coach. It can be the strength coaches. Just having some of the guys go through 4 or 5 years with Nebraska and have the same coach would be, I think, huge for some of these guys.
You've got 20 hours a week on the radio to do it, but on social media, how do you handle that during a game? Because I know you get fairly fired up.
I do. Mm-hmm. But I try to use it as like an educational deal. Like I use a lot of film, mm-hmm. you know, I'll grab stuff off of, the television kind of like as teaching tools. And what I think I kind of have learned to do is let people make their own decisions, right? I'm not a guy that's going to tell you, well, you should think this or this. Hey, do with this what you will. Let me just tell you, if you're going to speak on it, at least know what's going on. And then after that, it doesn't really bother me. It's not like I have enough respect, and I think that's kind of the key amongst the brethren is I have enough respect for you as an individual or Jay or you, where if you said something on social media, even if I didn't agree with it, it's not going to move my needle, right? Because we're probably on some other type of level where it's, hey, that's another grown-up having another opinion, and you keep it moving.
The other big question that's in here a lot, Curtis says it, Fred says it, Rodney says it, why aren't they playing Luke McCaffrey more? He's obviously the better quarterback.
I'm glad you saved it for the new guy.
you have been a part of quarterback battles. I'm sure you saw it in the NFL. You saw it in college. How does the team handle that most times when you're playing when there's a quarterback battle?
Well, I think the biggest thing with Luke was so successful in the 4 games that he got to play, or the 3 games, the 1 game he only had the one snap, I think. So, but, you know, and that's what kind of limited, I think we would have seen him a lot more this year if he would have been a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore or whatever it was. But they wanted to protect that redshirt so much. But that's the beauty of the rule, is we got to get a little taste of him mm-hmm. for 3 games. Now, at the same time with that, it pumps the pressure up on him to come into spring. Same like how Adrian was last year. He was so good, and we put all these expectations on him coming into spring ball over the summer. Luke's going to be in that same boat this year, and everyone's going to be thinking, Luke, you have to take over Adrian, or, you know, who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I think Luke did a great job playing. He stepped in some great moments, made some great plays. I think he's got a bright future. And, you know, who knows? You know, the Saints sometimes use 3 quarterbacks. Why can't we?
Hey, if Drew Brees can go to the sideline for Taysom Hill,
Adrian can go over there, put Luke in there. I mean,
it says the Saints fan.
I shake my head every time it happens.
Put the quarter in that guy.
I mean, granted, the Saints quarterbacks are a little different than our 3 quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But you do put those plays in there for Taysom Hill, just like you put the plays in there for Luke McCaffrey. And just because Taysom Hill has success on one play doesn't mean he's the starter, right?
Exactly.
That's where we try to make the point this week. Before we let you go, looking ahead to next year, what would you like to see improve the most?
Prove the most next year, I think just consistency. I think we saw so many flashes of good plays, good from good players, good play calls even. I think, you know, obviously Jay just talked a little bit about some of those bubble screens that I think everybody in the state of Nebraska right now doesn't want to see again for a while. But I think over time, I think just consistency from the players, the coaching staff, and just we're trending upwards, whether people think we are or not. I think, you know, so many people are still going to question, is Scott Frost the guy for us? Heck yeah, he is. I mean, if Scott can't do it,
right,
I don't know who's going to. I mean, I'm not going to. Damon, maybe. Jay, maybe. Too much golf for Jay as a coach. But,
yeah.
You know, the thing is, Scott's the right guy. I just want to see consistency and keep us moving on the right path.
Need unity, right?
Perfect word.
No doubt about it. We appreciate it, man. Good seeing you.
Thanks for having me.
Always good.
Thanks, Zach. Next up on the wrap-up, Sean Callahan will join us, and we'll have the latest development as Nebraska focuses their attention now on recruiting before early signing day. But first, here's Nancy Finken and Perry Stoner.
Well, we really appreciate what all of you guys are doing in the Big Red Wrap-Up Studio, and we are loving the opportunity to hear how you feel about this season. From former Husker players to sports reporters and others who come on the show, it's really a way for us to dive into our Husker football passion like no other program does. And so we're back for one last short break from Big Red Wrap-Up to thank you for watching and to encourage you to support NET. I'm Nancy Finken along with Perry Stoner, and NET is here throughout the year bringing you great sports coverage like high school basketball and wrestling and football and volleyball. And we're here because of viewers and supporters just like you.
All those sports, Nancy, that you mentioned, it's part of NET's commitment to the state and its people. And thank you for making it all possible. We've got information to invite you to join the NET Sports Partners Club to keep all the sports going here on NET. Here's your chance to say, yes, I want to help. You can do that by calling 800-989-8236 or go online to netnebraska.org/donate, and we'll welcome your membership and thank you with these great gifts. First, we have a 6-DVD set of Husker football. These are all NET-produced programs. For a contribution of $180 or $15 a month, you get the 6-DVD set, which includes the Husker Century Trilogy, Coach Osborne More Than Winning, A Day in the Life of Husker Football, Walk-Ons, Husker's Edge, and the most recent program that NET produces, Tom Osborne, A Legacy Beyond the Game. Or for a contribution of $120, $10 a month, you'll receive the NET Sports Partners Club Fleece Jacket. You can show your support for NET Sports by wearing this any time of year, and they're available in all sizes, as you might expect, small, medium, large, extra large, and XXL. So for a $60 contribution, $5 a month, you'll receive the NET Sports Partners Ball Cap. This gray cap displays your support for NET, Nebraska's home for sports. Give us a call right now at 800-989-8236, or you can do it all online at netnebraska.org/donate.
Big Red Wrap-Up is just one example of quality sports programming locally produced here at NET. Husker football documentaries isn't all that NET has produced. We also have 3 volleyball documentaries that have gone in-depth on the Husker volleyball team. You remember those, Dream Like a Champion, Destination Omaha, and Culture of a Champion. In-depth sports journalism and storytelling and hours each year of live sports action that you see right here on NET. You need to help us keep it going, and that's what your support does right now.
You're probably like me and watched a lot of college football over the last several weeks. So now is a good time to catch up on those other quality NET and PBS programs we've been missing. And we can do that by becoming a supporting member at $60 or more and taking advantage of the member benefit called Passport. Stream the programs you want to watch when you want to watch them. So many great titles are there, Nova, Nature, and dozens of great programs produced by NET. And now let's get back to Big Red Wrap-Up.
Welcome back. I'm Michael Sevier, joined by Sean Callahan to talk some recruiting. Nebraska brings another kicker into the fold, walk-on from Iowa Western.
Yeah, Chase
Contreras.
I was going to butcher that name again. Coming in as one of the best junior college kickers in the country. And it's clear. I mean, the writing's on the wall. I mean, Nebraska's looking for competition and change at that position. They had 6 different kickers kick field goals or make field goals this year. From 2004 to 2017, there were only 6 kickers that kicked field goals for Nebraska. They had that many in one season. Right. So it is pretty clear that they weren't happy with it. I mean, you go back and just look at all the issues they had with field goal decisions and kickoff misses. It's a priority. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out now with Barrett Pickering and
Matt Waldock. 4 out of 4 and 9 out of 9 with extra points.
And I still wonder the decision to have Waldock do kickoffs on Friday, but not field or not have new kickoffs.
Right.
Yeah, because obviously, you know, the kickoff leg strength wasn't there as it was. You know, when you watched Barrett Pickering, he didn't look sharp.
Yeah.
You know, he couldn't get the ball past the 10-yard line.
Yeah, well, the first 3 pop-ups were actually a good idea with the Pooches, but then, of course, the kickoff to Marcette wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, didn't that work so well?
Let's get into our Nebraska recruit, Ronald Delancey out of Northwestern High School. Pretty good high school. A lot of good talent comes out of here.
Yeah, and, you know, this is right in the wheelhouse of Travis Fisher. I mean, he has a particular type of guy that he likes, and generally it's a Florida-Georgia type of DB. With long levers and potential. And, you know, Miami Northwestern is one of the best, you know, talent producing programs down there. And you know, the level of talent. I mean, I've been lucky enough to go down these types of places. I was down in Carroll City before. And when you go down and to see the talent on the field on those high schools, it's a different level than what we could even imagine. In Miami Northwestern, I mean, that's where Levante David went. They had 8 4 stars on that team, and he wasn't one of them. And he ended up being the best pro off that team when that team had one of the most 4 stars ever. So you know you're getting a guy from a program with competition, with lots of players. Because to be a starting DB or starting receiver at Miami Northwestern, you better be a dude.
Well, think about who the number one corner is going to be next year in DeCaprio Boodle, a guy they found at a
city park.
Camp. Right, exactly.
In Doral City Park. Yeah, ran a 4.340 in a park with 600 kids that day.
Yep, and that was it. And look at him at Nebraska now. In-state, Cole Herbesheimer, who is one of the best athletes at his position in terms of testing numbers you see in high school, is a big kid.
Yeah, kind of a tweener in the sense that, I think he could play offensive line, defensive line. Wyoming has taken him as an offensive lineman. He's a guy that they want to put on the interior. High motor guy, tested really well. This summer, he probably picked up the most offers of any in-state kid. Once he started going to camps and combines, he got Wyoming, South Dakota State, North Dakota State. I mean, he got really a whole gauntlet of those type of offers where, you know, a lot of people, I think South Dakota was his first one before the bigger ones came in for him. But he's going to be a good player for Craig Bohl. Kind of fits the mindset, the toughness. They've got a lot of Nebraskans playing there on the line already. Right. Reese Stauffer is a starting tackle, and the kid from Gretna, Patrick Arnold,
yep,
is a starting offensive center there. So, you know, he's going to walk into a room full of kids that, you know, fit him, and I think that's a good place for him.
Yeah, this is a big week for Nebraska, right? Big 2 weeks.
Big 2 weeks. Today, right now, is day 3 of 14 that coaches can be on the road. And a lot of people don't realize that. We had 2 bye weeks this year, which was nice, but the trade-off is the coaches lost a week in recruiting after the season because it is the latest possible day Thanksgiving can be this year, which kind of crunched up the whole calendar. So all these teams that have made coaching changes, they've got a lot going on right now because once they get their guy in place, maybe Saturday, Sunday, you know, they're going to only have a week to visit kids before signing day.
A busy time. Thanks, Sean. We appreciate it. Be sure to vote on this week's sideline survey. Should there be an open competition at quarterback this season? Get on there and vote. 97% of the folks voting say yes. And then 3% of the people, I think, are just saying that because they want to. I don't think they feel that way. But, you know, that's the way it works sometimes on the sideline survey. Go to the wrap-up website and cast your vote. All right. So this is not the season wrap-up show. We're going to do one of those. But overall feelings about this year? I know it's 5-7, but beyond that.
Disappointed. Really disappointed. I thought the schedule really led me to believe that this could be, you know, 7-5 at worst. 8-4, 9-3. Very disappointing. Things caught me off guard. Adrian Martinez's play caught me a little off guard. Special teams definitely caught me off guard. Defensively, thought we'd be a little better. But overall, it just wasn't good enough. You got to get better. All 3 phases, coaching staff's got to get better. Better play calling defensively. Everyone's got to get better to going forward.
Yeah, for me, it wasn't so much about 5. I didn't see 5. I thought 6 was probably the floor. But there were just a few too many times it didn't look like football. You know, I can kind of live with a 5 or a 6 or a 7 number, whatever it is. If it's a little more crisp, if it's a little more consistent. The highs were so high, even though they were fleeting, but the lows were so low. The inability to capture any middle ground, I think, for me, in terms of consistency, was a little disappointing.
Sean, a lot of L's on there, obviously, but a lot of L's that could have easily been W's.
Yeah,
for sure.
You look at, I mean, there are just some moments. The flea flicker at Colorado, the fumble Vedrill had where he got hit against Indiana, then they returned that all the way down inside the 10. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were so many of those moments. Darian Daniels not scoring on the interception. You know, little things that you're like, oh, big deal. No,
into the Purdue game.
You know, and
kicked a field goal from the 1 yard line.
Yeah. And, you know, little things like that, that if they just go the other way. I mean, the flea flicker play, if Nebraska wins at Colorado, all of a sudden they're 4-0. Going into
different
4-0 feels a heck of a lot different than 3-1 going into Ohio State. I mean, I just think this team was so fragile. Minnesota had the schedule to kind of work out their kinks, and I think that was the difference. They played bad early, but they built their confidence as the season went with not a tough schedule, and then it allowed them to have confidence. And Nebraska obviously failed to do that when they had the favorable stretch early.
Varmont, who is in Bortles, Nebraska, I think it's Bartels, Nebraska, says that Eastern Nebraska sports writers have drank the Kool-Aid. Big Ten's most physical in the nation. We have not shown up physically enough. You agree with that?
We've gotten better. I think you can just look at the Iowa game. I mean, Iowa, like I said, Iowa pushed us around last year.
It is better.
It is so much better. I think I'll raise my hand. I underestimated the Big Ten. I thought we'd come in here and walk and trounce all over the majority of the competition except for the Penn States and the Michigans, Ohio States. The Big Ten forces you to play damn near perfect football. You can't get by with playing sloppy football in this conference. You have to be on point. No matter if you're playing Northwestern, Purdue, Indiana, they make you play good football. You can't let little – and this is – you go back to it. It's just little things that are costing this team right now. And that's the biggest thing with this Big Ten is you got to play solid football on all three fronts. Otherwise, you get exposed.
Yeah, I think people underestimated the conference was the quality assistant coaches. I mean, you look at some of the who's who's, whether it was a Narduzzi or – you know, Halfley now currently at Ohio State, or Phil Parker. I mean, you love Iowa secondary. I mean, there's a reason that secondary is cranking out NFL guys after NFL guys. Not only is it a quality conference in terms of head coaching and its depth, the assistants are good too. That lends itself to what Jay was saying in terms of maybe you don't need to be perfect, but if you have a hole in your game or a few chinks in your armor, people find them out in a hurry.
As we know, Nebraska's staff overall fairly young.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a staff that's had 3 full years now together, other than Tony Tuioti, a newer face. But, you know, you look at Wisconsin and Iowa and some of these staffs, they've been together a long time. I mean, 15, 20 years in some of those places where you look at some of those assistant coaches where it is going to come with time, it's going to come with development. And, you know, that has been the problem with Nebraska football, the dysfunction of constant changing and resetting and changing offensive systems, going from 4-3 to 3-4. You look at all that. I mean, Nebraska's just got to be doing the same thing for a sustained period of time. And I think that is a big part of the growth that's going to need to happen over the next few years.
You mentioned the defensive line guys leaving, the Davis brothers, obviously. Darian Daniels, the 1 year he was here. That's a position that's going to be interesting to see. A lot of young guys are going to have a chance.
Yeah, I think you look at his brother stepping in there, replacing him. I look at Thompson coming in, DeAndre Thomas coming in. Stilley's coming back.
Casey Rogers.
Yes, Casey Rogers.
Ty
Robinson. I loved the way he played against his few snaps against one of the better offensive lines against Wisconsin. The Jakeem Green, the JUCO guy that's going to and whoever we might else, you know, we could get here late. Listen, then we had a good D-line. Those guys got to step up and replace those guys. But I think there's some guys that you've gotten some live bullet reps and show they can do it. Now they just have to do it. Instead of doing it 10, 12 snaps, they got to do it for 40, 50 snaps.
On the other side of the ball, that wide receiver room is going to be interesting next year.
Yeah, I think development there is the key. That's why I'm a big fan of knowing what the end game is supposed to be, right? Because then you know what you're developing towards. That's why I was a little uncomfortable with the lack of identity offensively. I heard a lot about, hey, you know what, the timing's got to be better, or we've got to be more crisp or more dependable. I still didn't know what that was supposed to look like when it was going well. So the development of the wide receiver room is absolutely critical. You got enough of them, right? I mean, you had 15 guys in camp and you're 110 coming in. You need a Nance. You need a Damarian Houston. You need some of those guys to really step up and deliver. Chris Hickman, who shows a ton of promise. They've got some talent on the roster. We'll just see if they know what they want the end game to look like so they can get those guys.
How about Omar Manning and Xavier Betts?
Yeah, two keys right there. I mean,
a couple 6'4 guys who can block the perimeter.
They look a lot different than currently what the guys are currently
and
on that roster.
The reports are, if you don't know who Omar Manning is, he's the number one JUCO receiver in the country, 6'3, 6'4, 215. Far and away the top available JUCO body to go with Xavier Betts, a national top 100 guy. And I mean, that would completely change the look of that entire room if they're able to get Betts qualified and Manning here. I mean, that would be a whole different looking room.
Yeah, if Betts qualifies, he could play tomorrow.
His body certainly is.
He could have played against Iowa on Friday.
He could, and I don't say a ton of stuff like that, especially outside the numbers where it's a thinking man's game, but I for sure know he's bright enough with his football IQ. And physically, he's tested in the top 9. He's top 3% in the country.
Yeah. And he can run
routes.
In terms
of his physical testing numbers.
So he's a route runner.
He's different.
What about that running back room next year?
Tell you what, you better buckle up. right? You got Mills leading the way. You hope to get a Ramir Johnson in his right frame of mind. You got Ronald Tompkins.
Yeah. Marvin Scott.
You got Marvin Scott, who Sevier loves. Savion Morrison, who was their first visit when they left Lincoln. And they took the trio, which lets you know kind of how they feel. You got Wandale Robinson, who now is a movable chess piece. If he's thinking long-term career, he doesn't want to be a 30-touch-a-game guy, run catch. So that running back room, Coach Hill once again will have to be like, hey, you matter, you're important, hang in here with me. Hey, you matter, hang in here with me. There's going to have to be some negotiating of some talent in that room.
And, of course, linebacker. I mean, that's going to be interesting. We talk so much about outside.
Now they'd like to have that problem.
Yeah, yeah. Again, you hope you got some guys coming from the JUCO level, the inside spot. You have Will Holmes coming back, but
You need a Hannah. You need a Henrich.
Colin Miller,
Colin Miller. You have some guys that it played better as the year went on, but that's one of the
Luke Reimer, Joe Johnson.
Yeah, that's the guys. We need speed. That outside, inside, you guys need to be able to run. Mm-hmm. Those are racers.
Yeah.
Racers are important when you're playing a 3-4 front.
Yep, need Caden Johnson, too.
Caden Johnson. It looks
I actually
promising.
Think that's pretty, that may be a surprise to some folks on the national scene. I like where Nebraska is with him.
That'd be a good win. We're back next week, one final time. We recap the year, of course, look back at the entire 2019 season and gear up for early signing day. Of course, Sean Callahan will join us with that as one of the co-hosts. Our thanks to Zach Potter, Sean Callahan, Hannah and the boys in the call center. For Jay Moore and Damon Benning, I'm Michael Sevier. Now, one final time, here's Nancy Finkin.
Well, thank you so much. We need you to give us a call right now. All season long, we hear from you with phone calls and tweets and Facebook posts, and now we need you to do that with a membership, a pledge of support for NET. You can do that on the phone at 800-989-8236. We have some wonderful thank you gifts when you do. We have a 6-DVD set of all kinds of Husker programs that we've produced here at NET. You see them there on your screen. 6 of those will be coming your way. We've got a Sports Partners Club jacket. We've got a baseball cap. All those choices are yours when you're a member right now, showing your support for NET and specifically for Big Red Wrap-Up. And now joining me is Michael Sevier. Thanks for coming over to this side of the studio, Michael.
Do I get a coffee tumbler for coming over here?
I think we can work on that.
That would be awesome. Thank you very much.
And congratulations on nearly completing your first year as host of Big Red Wrap-Up.
It's been great.
Well, it's been great to have you. You do a wonderful job. What's your favorite part of the show?
I really love the fact that we get people to be able to interact, right? Whether it's Facebook or Twitter or, of course, calling into the show and leaving a message. I think that's great to allow all of Nebraska to be able to contribute to a show that everybody in Nebraska cares about.
And when you came on board as a full-time host for the program, what did you think about what kind of a niche this show fills in the sports arena here in Nebraska of sports journalism?
You know, I've lived all over the country, and I don't think there's another station like NET anywhere in the country. Not PBS station that covers as many Nebraska sports. I think the way we do it, volleyball is incredible. Covering Nebraska every Tuesday with Big Red Wrap-Up is incredible as well. So I think NET does something that across the country, a lot of places would love to have, but we happen to have it here in Nebraska.
And we have you as our host and all of the panelists and special guests. Thank you so much for what you do week in and week out. Call in with your support right now. Let Michael know, let the whole team here at NET know that you're enjoying the program along with us and you're willing to do something, $5, $10, $15 a month. At that $15 a month level, we'd love to send you a thank you gift. You'll have a 6 set of DVD productions that NET has done, including the ones you see on your screen, the most recent one, Coach Osborne More Than Winning, and A Day in the Life of Husker Football. We have the trilogy. We have Huskers Walk-On. All of those DVDs are yours at that level, or at $10 a month, something you'll enjoy wearing each year. It's the Sports Partners Club fleece jacket that takes a donation of $10 a month. Or if you need something to keep the head warm, well, we've got a Sports Partners Club cap just for you at $5 a month. Call now at 800-989-8236 or do that online, netnebraska.org/donate. And thanks so much. Thank you.